time to go and look at things nutritional and health. And we talked to Anetsi about that on this Thursday morning. Anetsi, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Wayne.
And Anetsi, thanks for joining us once again today, talking about fat. We've chatted about it before, but as you said in the preamble, you know, new information comes, possibly new treatments or new ways to deal with it. What's the lowdown?
I also think it's just sort of a recap for everybody to remind us that this is really a very important part of our diet and the choices that we end with. I actually want to, sometimes I think there might be a negative connotation to fat in general. But if we look at fat, it's got a very specific purpose in the body. So if we don't consume fat, there will be certain essential fatty acids that we don't get, which the body cannot make itself. And also when we are consuming fats, it actually helps the body to absorb the fat-soluble vitamins, which is mainly vitamin A, D, and E. And if we look at vitamin A and E, they are rather strong antioxidants. And if we look at vitamin D, that is actually a hormone that's got very specific purposes in the body. So it might just sound like three little vitamins, but the type of fats that we consume, it's got a direct impact on how our body can absorb this. And I think then obviously the unfortunate thing about this is that if we consume too much fat, the body will store it as fat. If we consume too much carbs or protein and we cannot utilize it as energy, the body will store it as fat. And I think that's sort of where then we have to start focusing on what types of fats that we are consuming on a daily basis. So I'll start with unsaturated fatty acids, which will be your best choice in terms of fat. So if we look at unsaturated fats, we can identify them by liquid at room temperature. And in general, they have beneficial effects in the sense that they can improve our cholesterol levels. They have got a direct impact on inflammation. So if we choose healthy fats, we can decrease the inflammatory markers in our body. They can also help with stabilizing your heart rhythms and there's many other beneficial roles. So unsaturated fats generally comes from plants, in the sense of vegetable oils, nuts and seeds. And then within this unsaturated fatty acid group, we get then two different groups which are also classified as good fats. So we want to basically have the majority of our fat that we consume on a daily basis, we want to be from monounsaturated fatty acid.
Okay.
So if we look at monounsaturated, that they basically have, they are anti-inflammatory, so they can help with decreasing inflammatory markers in the body. And the easiest sources for us as South Africans would probably be to consume avos, to eat olives, to use maybe canola oil or olive oil. And then in the nut family, almonds, pecans, those are the type of nuts that will be higher in monounsaturated fatty acids. Although all nuts in a sense contains monounsaturated fatty acids, but the distribution of monounsaturated, polyunsaturated and saturated is different between all the nuts. So then for almonds and pecans, they would contain the highest amount of monounsaturated fatty acids, as well as pumpkin seeds, sesame seeds. So obviously any oil that or derivative from this would then be a good choice for monounsaturated fatty acids. Then with polyunsaturated fatty acids, very easy to consume this actually. If you think about your average tub margarine, will be polyunsaturated, as well as soybeans, flaxseed, walnuts will be higher in that. And then our fatty fishes, but with the polyunsaturated fatty acids, we've got two groups, sort of omega-3 and omega-6. So omega-6 would be more your margarines and your oils in terms of sunflower, soybean oil, flaxseed oil, that type of oil. Whereas your omega-3s then really important for anti-inflammatory properties. So we always hear people say, you know, take an omega-3 supplement because it will help you with rheumatoid arthritis. It will decrease the inflammation. It can ease a little bit the pain. But so it is indeed, it can do that. But then if we want to take it, them in food sources, if we look at plant sources, high omega-3 three content would be flaxseed oil, and then also canola, soybean, walnuts, as well as if we then the fatty fishes would be your sardines, your herring, skippers, trout, and even the good old thing like fish base, grapeseed oil, really, really rich in omega-3. And we want to at least consume 8 to 10% of your daily calories should of your fat. If we look at the fat distribution, if 30% of fat of your diet will be fat, 10% of that 30% should at least come from omega-3. So we should try and incorporate these sources two or three times a week in some way into our diet. If that's not possible, obviously a supplement is a very good option. So just make sure you get a good omega-3 a quality supplement with at least maybe 2,000 milligrams of fish oil is what you aim for. Sometimes you, and it's important to read the labels when it comes to omega-3 supplementation, because you want the EPA and the DHA content to be high. So in other words, you might think you're buying a good one, but take some time, go through all of them and make sure that you actually pay for a supplement which the EPA and the DHA is a decent amount in your supplement.
Right.
And then benefits of omega-3, also they can help to decrease your blood pressure and help with the lipid profile in terms of cholesterol levels. And then obviously also decrease the risk for cardiovascular diseases because it's got an impact on inflammation. Then the ones that you really don't want to consume or in a very little quantity would be our saturated fats, and mainly from animal food, and how we identify them if, and they are also in plant sources available, which would, for instance, be your coconut, coconut oil, palm kernel oil. And these ones are generally solid at room temperature.
Okay.
So if you think about coconut oil, if it's in your cupboard and you take it out, it would be solid. The same as the white fat on meat, it will be solid. So all of that is your saturated fat, and it should be less than 7% of your fat contribution. So if we look again at that 30% that we maybe want to consume in a day, it should be less than 7% of that 30%. And because they are pro-inflammatory, so if we look at your pro-inflammatory cytokines, they've got the ability to increase these pro-inflammatory cytokines, and they will be it will have a negative effect on the body. Other sources is obviously cheese, full fat dairy like your butter, your cream, processed meats, obviously, because they put a lot of animal fat in things like sausage or maybe any commercial, if you think about a salami or even a dryvos, or lots of saturated fat in there, that white pieces that we see, not the good fat.
Yeah,
it's unfortunately the bad and the ugly. So we should try and stay away from them. And then a commercially baked, refined, even if it's a sweet, like maybe a biscuit, a rusk, because they use, unfortunately, saturated fats to make these. And then obviously some chocolates and fast foods, because they use, obviously, these margarines and palm kernel oils and stuff to prepare those fast foods, yes. And then I think the worst one of them all would be trans fat and lots of products that's commercially manufactured. They will actually put something on the label to say that it's trans fat free. And a trans fat is made really from heating a liquid vegetable oil in the presence of hydrogen gas as a catalyst, and this is the process called hydrogenation. So the reason they do this is because it makes the vegetable oil more stable and less likely to become rancid. So this process then also converts oil into a solid, if we think about some margarines maybe. And then so these partially hydrogenated oils, they can withstand repeated heat without breaking down that oil. So that's why it makes it ideal for frying. If you think about the deep fryer,
okay,
the oil is in there and they, it's not like they change the oil every single day. So by using a partially hydrogenated oil, it can actually withstand repeated heat. So we can actually keep on frying food in the same oil. And then that's also obviously why restaurants and fast food institutions will use these types of oils for frying and baking and making processed food. So this is really the worst fat type of fat that you can consume for your heart, for blood vessels, and even the rest of your body. So they've got a direct impact on increasing your LDL, which is the bad cholesterol, and will reduce your HDL, which is your good cholesterol, obviously increase total cholesterol, increase inflammation, and then also it's got an effect on, it can make you increase the risk for insulin resistance, in the sense that if you consume a lot of these foods, obviously you will gain weight. And then you can become insulin resistant. So it will just be a flow over of too much fat. So we there's harmful effects that even if you have 2% of your daily fat consumption that comes from trans fats, that it can increase your risk for heart disease by 23%. So it's really something that we have to look out for. And apart from buying the product that might have trans fat, if you just think about how easy it is to consume a fast food, which then those fast food institutions, unfortunately, the fats that they use will be those ones that might be saturated and full of trans fats.
Simply because they need to get their fat to last longer when they're boiling and frying and all sorts of things.
And frying. Yes, so that's why with fast foods, if you if it's baked or yeah, any sort of hot air type of preparation or in an oven, or it's really always a healthier option, or then obviously grilled over a fire would be really a better option. So just lastly, some tips. So obviously, we want to try to buy more low-fat foods. So this is where it's really important to read your label. So that's why the labels are there. So if we look at total fat per 100 gram in anything that you buy, if it is more than 17 grams of per fat, 17 grams fat per 100 gram, then we will classify it as a high-fat food. And then low fat, if it is a food substance, not necessarily a liquid, we aim for 3 grams per 100, or sometimes we can up 3 to 5. I always say it makes it a little bit easier to find foods in that bracket, less than per 100 gram. Or if it's a liquid, 1.5 grams per 100 ml of liquid. If we think about milk, maybe some of your yogurt drinks will be classified as low fat if the fat amount per 100 ml is less than 1.5 or 1.5. Fat-free will be classified as less than 0.5 grams of fat. And then if the something that if the saturated fat content should be less than 5 grams of fat per 100 gram of food, and we actually aim for less than 1.5, and then saturated fat free will be some if there's 0.1 gram per 100 gram or 100 mil, it will be classified as saturated fat free. That's just sort of the information that we can get from a label to guide us in terms of, you know, what is okay to buy. It's, you don't have to be paranoid about this. Just be mindful of what you buy and what you eat. And and this way your fat can work in your favor, instead of a disadvantage to you.
A question, you know, and I mean a whole lot of information there about the different types of fats and, you know, which ones are better and worse. If you had to apply, and I know one size doesn't always fit all, but if you had to apply a rule and say moderation, would you be relatively safe, you know, as opposed to, you know, just going out and just eating lots and lots? But if you say, well, you know, okay, this might have a bit of nasty fat, but I'm not going to eat too much of it.
No, so obviously, if you are the person that consume, maybe you treat yourself once a week to any your favorite fast food, whatever it might be, that would be fine. Then at home, you have the right cooking methods. You maybe choose your avo and your olives and your peanut or peanut butter as your fat source. And if you are active in conjunction with that, it's really not something to be worried about. It's more like if 80% of your week consists of refined carbohydrates, fried food, and maybe lots of sweet commercially baked products, and you are not active, that's sort of red lights for me. But 10% of a week, if you are 80% of the time really preparing your food the proper way and choosing the right stuff, you shouldn't be worried about it.
Okay.
I think that's just being normal.
Yes, that's normal. But when those types of foods become the main part of your diet, obviously then there's red flags waving all over.
If it's something that you consume on a daily basis at least once, I would definitely say you should maybe review your dietary habits.
And then you're looking for trouble. Like, for instance, if you hypothetically had to go to that to the Colonel's chicken shop and have something from him every day, you would probably be heading down the wrong path.
Yeah, I think you can expect a change in your cholesterol profile and also the number on your scale.
On your scale and the number on your pants as well.
Yes.
So basically, be careful what you eat fat-wise, but everything in moderation, you're reasonably safe.
Yes, for sure.
But be aware of it nonetheless.
Yeah.
And let's see, if somebody is maybe they planning a diet and they thinking, wait a minute, you know, maybe my middle is starting to get a bit bigger and I needed to get a bigger pair of pants, and they want to maybe just tweak their diet, can they get in touch with you? How do they get in touch to make use of your services?
More than welcome to contact me on 084-609-3989, or they can find me on Instagram at Junetsi.
Great. Junetsi, thank you very much. Have a good week and stay slim and trim.
Thank you so much, Wayne.
Cheerio then. That's Junetsi with today's Nutrition Chat.